Steve, thanks very, very much. Hi, guys. It's me, Bill. Wendy has the day off today. She will return on Monday. Sitting in for Wendy, my friend, Harry Tynowitz. Hello, Harry.
Hello, Bill. Wonderful to be back.
Nice to see you again.
It's great to be seen.
One other change. Of course, Steve is in the newsroom. You just heard Steve. Mary's out today. Jen DeSalvo filling in on traffic for us.
Guys?
Love Jen DeSalvo.
I love you too, Harry.
Go on.
Jen, first go on so Harry's happy. Just say one more nice thing about Harry and then we'll go on.
Harry, you're
wow.
Yeah, that says it all. That says it all. There's so much good things to say. You can't single out one. It's impossible. Please explain to me, because I think this is a brilliant idea, and I think you're calling it a protest or a demonstration.
Correct.
What these truckers are doing on I-57, this is brilliant.
Yeah, so they're doing what is called a slow roll. So basically prohibiting traffic from getting around them. It sounds like they're going to remain in the right lane, though. So it'll be one trucker after another for, I don't know exactly how many truckers are going to be involved.
But just one lane.
One lane, yeah. In some areas, in some states, they've done it across all four or five lanes. You know, kind
of. That's
like
more effective.
Yeah, what we see with like the snow plows, the way the snow plows roll down when it's really awful out.
Yes.
But yeah, so there's.
And why are they doing this?
Well, there's a variety of reasons. They have problems with some of the regulations that are being imposed upon them. They want more flexible hours. A lot of them have restrictions on, you know, how quickly, or limitations more so, on how quickly they have to get from point A to point B. But it doesn't account for breaks or rest times.
Right.
And they're not going to get paid unless they get there in that timely fashion, or not paid, you know, their full amount. They want more training for new drivers. That's definitely important.
Well, that makes sense. Because originally I thought you said a slow row.
No, no, no.
And I'm like, who would protest row con?
No, Harry, it's a slow row.
Well, and it's not that flooded out there, so they're not rowing any boats.
Right,
so. Right.
That's true.
Yeah.
Is this unprecedented? Have we seen a demonstration like this from truckers in the past? We have, you said, right?
We have. They have done it in multiple other states. Northwest Indiana in 1894, I believe it was about a year ago, that they did something similar to this. But you know, not really recently.
I would do all the lanes, Jen. I got to be honest with you. It's more effective to do all the lanes.
Bill, remember, I don't know if you guys know this about Bill, but Bill, remember when you started that convoy?
Yes. Yes. Years ago.
Years ago.
Crazy story.
Yeah.
So I know what they're trying to do. They're trying to get the word out there that they're not happy with their agreement, but there's nothing that other drivers on the expressways, on the highways can do. It's kind of strange in that respect, wouldn't you say?
Well, you can also argue that for when they shut down the Dan Ryan for a protest about violence on the South
Side. Yeah, that's true.
You know, so there's not much that drivers could do that were going from Indiana to Wisconsin. But it's a way to draw attention to the
cause. Just driving slowly. It sounds like something organized by my mother-in-law. Let's all just drive slowly and see what happens.
I mean, I'm all for driving slowly. I get very apprehensive when there's people going above the speed limit around me.
I'm a big fan of truck drivers. Truck drivers are cool. They're friendly. You know, when doing stand-up, I'd get, you know, a sandwich. What do you call it? The rocking horse?
What's the rocking horse?
Where you get in between two trucks. And they've got the big headlights, and you just, like, sit in between. You drive in between.
Oh, I never heard of that.
Yeah, rocking horse, 50 miles, 100 miles. And, you know, while you were flying from coast to coast, some of us were driving, doing stand-up, and, you know, you'd pull into these little diners, Jen, and they'd say, like, you know, there'd be a section for, like, you know, professional drivers.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some nights I felt more, coming back from Sioux City, I felt more like a driver than a comic.
Right.
You know, you'd sit there and you'd talk with truckers. They're cool.
Yeah.
Bus drivers, another story.
One time at a truck stop, they had a giant sign, and it said these words, "Free shower with minimum fill." And I asked the guy at the desk who minimum Phil was.
Phil Foster.
Just want to talk to that guy for a half a minute.
That was a Harry joke right there.
Harry wrote that. He wrote that for me. Thanks, Harry. All right, we'll take a quick break. We've got a lot to discuss. Stick around. It's Bill and Harry in for Wendy. Thanks, Bill. It's Bill F. It's Harry Tynowitz in for Wendy Snyder. Wendy has the day off, but will return on Monday. We were just talking about this protest going on I-57, and Jen, you have an update.
Yeah, I want to thank a texter for reminding us that this posted speed limits are between 45 miles per hour and, you know, up to 65 miles per hour on the expressways, 70 on some of the tollways further out and some of the expressways further out. But if the truckers are going between 40 and 50 miles per hour, they're typically still driving at the speed limit on the right lane. So they're not breaking the law by doing this. They're just kind of making a convoy.
What if you threw a protest and traffic was slower anyway?
Right. That would defeat the purpose, wouldn't it?
They drive into a traffic jam. That's no different.
So they really are. They're following this to every letter of the law. They're not going too slow.
And they're staying to the right.
Blocking every lane. Wow.
As long as they're wearing flannel shirts and a hat, I see no reason why they can't be doing this. Yeah.
Everything's fine.
They got their baseball cap. They're good. Yeah.
I think they're snapbacks now.
Is that what it is now? A snapback? Yeah. Steve, word came to me earlier today that seats are going very, very quickly for the latest venture in Bertrand Travel. What can you tell us about this?
Yeah, we're going to Ireland in September. You should come with us.
That would be so much fun.
Nine days. And we weren't going to do it, but I just kind of added this one because I have friends there, and the guide is a good friend of mine. So we're going to go September 13th. Yeah, we have... I think we have about 10 spots left, so it'll probably sell out pretty quickly.
Very limited seats available, so jump on this now. It's BertrandTravel.com, right?
Steve Bertrand Travel.com.
I just talked to my friend Otis, who went with his wife on Steve's last trip to Ireland, and he loved
the Hoekstra trip.
The Van Morrison concert last year.
Mm. Oh, you know, he's the Belfast cowboy.
Yes, he is. He's in town, I think, next week.
Staying with you again?
No, Otis. Otis is... No, Van Morrison, yeah. But we'll go to Dublin, Killarney. We'll do the Cliffs of Moher and Dingle Peninsula and all that. And I know Harry loves the Dingle Peninsula.
Yes, but for different reasons.
I would never say it on the radio. And, you know, what's great about being in Ireland is you can go... They've got, like, off-track betting parlors, like, every 10 businesses.
Is this true?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Dooley's, I think it is.
Wow.
So you can bet your way through Ireland.
That's impressive.
Seriously, sign up if you're interested. You can text me or send me an email, a picture of the reservation form. But it's at SteveBertrandTravel.com, or even just call me at 847-606-6065. I think we're going to put this one to bed pretty quickly.
Excellent. Excellent. And how long is the trip, Steve?
9 days. We leave September 13th, and it's $3,700. That's airfare and a lot of dinners and everything.
And it's 9 days and six nights, and you tried to explain to me how that works, but I didn't understand it.
Well, since they found the black hole, this week.
You fly through there?
4- and 5-star hotels, too.
Can you find a leprechaun?
They're fairies, actually.
You can look.
Yeah.
Who knows if you find
We'll find
one.
A fairy tree, I promise you that.
Oh, that sounds like fun. Sounds like a good time.
Does it?
Speaking of, yes, absolutely. Speaking of travel, Southwest has decided, this came up in the news earlier today, to remove the 737 MAX from their flight schedule until August. It hits me because we're taking a trip earlier in the summer, sometime in either June or July. We're trying to decide why. We don't know yet which of the... why is that funny to you?
Because you're taking a trip. You just don't know where you're going.
We know where we're going. Okay. We just don't know which of the weeks we're going yet.
Okay, but you've got the where.
Yeah, we know the where. We know the who.
Do you know the why?
No.
Okay.
I guess for rest and relaxation.
So you don't know the why. You don't know the when.
Right.
Do you know the how?
Yeah, just by going somewhere.
Okay.
So just get in a car, take it to an airport, and they'll fly somewhere. The reason I bring it up is my wife said to me, Terry said to me, what if we got one of these 737s? Would you be okay with flying on it? I have to be honest. I fly very well. I'm not afraid to fly at all, but that would cause me some concern.
It will, yeah.
Wouldn't you be a little bit nervous if you got to the airport, you had a scheduled trip, and they say, oh, by the way, the plane we'll be using is the one that's had a couple of major crashes in the last couple of months?
Yeah, I think it's worse now, but remember about 30 years ago, there were a couple of DC-10s at the same time.
Yes.
And so I was very, you know, cautious not to get on a DC-10.
Yeah.
I was a little leery.
Now, I know people say...
By the way, little Larry is good friends with Minimum Phil.
They're still palling around together. Yeah. People always say this, and I think this all the time whenever I fly. And I used to, I mean, during the stand-up days, I was flying almost every week.
Right. I was driving.
It's a numbers game that there's no safer form of travel than airplanes.
Right.
I get
statistically,
that.
Yeah.
Right. Somebody always points out that your odds of getting into some sort of an accident in a car are so much greater than on an airplane. I get that. And that always played into the equation whenever I was getting onto an airplane. That said, this particular aircraft at this time, knowing what we know about it, would make me very, very squeamish about getting on board one. For now, I'm sure at some point they'll resolve all the issues. It'll be totally clear. It'll be totally fine. But as of this day, I'd be so afraid if I went to the airport and that was the aircraft that was designated for my flight.
Right. I would feel better if I were on one of those like Wright Brother planes where you got a running start and jumped off a cliff.
That would be a more secure feeling for you.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to remember because of basically ticketless travel right now. Do they list the type of aircraft anywhere? Are you told what kind of aircraft you're getting on until you actually show up at the airport? I can't remember it. It used to be on an airline ticket when you physically had tickets. It would say it somewhere on the ticket.
It's the age of information. I would think they would give you like every, you know, who built it, it was built,
right.
You know, what seat you'll have.
That sort of thing.
Yeah. I mean, that's crazy. Did you ever have a close call in the air?
Once. Flying into St. Louis, there was a guy next to me who was a standby pilot. He was flying. I can't remember what his deal was, mm-hmm. but they were moving him to St. Louis, and we were landing in St. Louis. No, we were taking off from St. Louis, and I said to him, I go, I'm so glad you're sitting next to me. A lot of people would want a priest or a nun sitting next to them on a flight.
Right.
I'm thrilled that a member of the crew, a crew guy, is sitting next to me, because if something's wrong, I'll just look at your face and I'll know. As we're taxiing down the runway, he goes, not good, not good, not good. And I go, what's not good? And he shows me there's a plane landing on the exact runway that we're about to take off from. So we swerved at the last minute. Everyone was fine, but you could just see it on his face. This is not going to go well.
So thank God you're okay. That would have been so bizarre to have an airplane accident on the ground.
Yes. Wouldn't it have been?
Yes.
Yeah.
But by the way, you always want a priest sitting next to you unless you're in Philadelphia.
Can you explain that?
I think the statistics speak for themselves.
All right. So if you're in Philadelphia, you look over and there's a holy man, a priest sitting next to you. Somehow change the order.
I think that'd be a good idea.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Have you had a close encounter?
We had a very scary one. We were kids and we got to go to Miami Beach every year at Christmas. And as you pointed out, Bill, you told me this.
Yeah.
You said if we didn't go, you know, as Jewish family, the curve would go down.
Yes.
So one year, my folks surprised us by taking us up to Disney World.
Oh.
And so Miami to Orlando is it's like a layup.
Yeah.
And on the flight back, we flew back at night.
Yeah.
And we kept, like, there was lightning and thunder. We kept hitting air pockets and they wouldn't let us out of our seatbelts. And I have a brother. I've got two and a half brothers. But I've got a brother who his thing was like Danny would throw up at every airport as soon as we landed.
Yeah.
And my other brother used to make so much fun of him, Billy, but this time we made fun of Billy because he was a little kid and he couldn't get out of the seat because we were going up and down the air pocket. A couple times we thought we were goners. So Billy might have gone to
you don't have to say.
Right.
You don't have to say. Hold on a second. Wally's on the line. He has some information. Wally, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing well, Bill.
What do you know about this?
Yeah, I know, like, on some apps, like the United Airlines app, when you're booking your flight, you can actually find out what type of aircraft you're going to be on. And once you've got your reservation, once you can check where that plane is even coming from. So, like, if there's, bad weather in parts of the country,
you can check.
You can see where that aircraft is coming from.
Oh, that's excellent.
Like the day of your flight, too. So you get some pretty good information on the flights.
Wally, thanks for the info. Have a good weekend.
Yep.
Take care.
Okay, thanks. You too. Bye-bye.
I like going through the in-flight magazine and seeing, like, what movies are available on different flights, even though I'll never be on them. If I was flying from Malaysia, to Los Angeles, I could watch Us.
Isn't that fun?
Yeah, that's a lot of fun.
That's a good time. We'll take a quick break. We'll get you some news, and then there's a lot more show. It's Bill and Harry in for Wendy on WGN. Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Harry Tynowitz. Harry is sitting in for Wendy today. She'll be back on Monday. Harry, you know, I'm not here to correct you. You know that.
Uh-oh.
But there are several texts saying that you've given out some slightly false information. You were talking about a procedure by which when you would drive on a highway late at
night...
Right,
I always thought it was called the rocking
horse. You would find a way to position yourself... Let me make sure I'm getting this right. So that there is a truck in front of you...
Yes.
And a truck behind you...
Yes.
And you were then in the what you call the rocking horse position,
yes.
Right? Several people say what you're describing is called the rocking chair...
It is the rocking chair.
Not the rocking horse. You can get a rocking horse at a truck stop. It's a totally different thing.
Right. No, they're right. I blame myself.
Come on.
I will fast the weekend.
No, there's no reason for that.
I will drop right now and do two push-ups.
Yeah, I'd like to see that.
Yeah,
did you do that?
Two push-ups? Try it.
Well, you can try. All right, I'll do play-by-play on this.
Is this where you're three across, or is this where you're in one lane?
Harry says that... Hold on, Harry. I'm answering Jen's question.
He's
Harry's on the
push-ups.
Floor right now. This is
where... Tell him to stop.
Well, you did it out of my sight line. I don't know if you really did it or not. Did you do two?
Yeah.
Yeah? Because you positioned yourself behind the console, so I couldn't see. All right, hold on, John. Here, he's going to give it one more shot.
This
go ahead.
Four.
You're all winded now.
Well, yeah.
All right, we believe you. You don't have to do more. Four. Jen has a question for you, Harry, though. She wants to know, rephrase the question for me, Jen. How did the question go?
Well, first, I want to know if he can only do four push-ups. And second, I want to know what this rocking chair is, if it's in the same lane, like truck.
You're
car,
in the
truck?
same lane as the truck.
Yes.
So you're drafting.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what race car drivers do.
Oh, yeah.
Sure, and bicyclists in the Olympian, in the Olympics.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
people at a buffet on a cruise.
Right, they'll do that, too.
People have done that to me in foot races.
Seriously?
Just go around me.
What's the benefit of that, Jen?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
I mean, I guess I'm so huge, I block the wind.
Probably. I'm sure that's what it is.
That's something. But truck drivers are very cool. They will usually, you know...
They know you're doing this.
Yeah, here's a guy, poor guy in his Chevy Citation.
Yeah.
Is, you know, he got off stage and he's driving 6 hours back home and...
They probably don't know that part, but okay.
Oh, I think maybe they
do. You think
they do?
All right.
Yeah, and...
This is a cut down on wind resistance? Is that the reason?
No, it's two reasons. A, it's to save time.
Yeah.
And B, it's for safety.
Yeah.
Because instead of now me driving alone with my car with my headlights, I'm between...
Using their super headlights.
Super headlights.
Yeah.
Not to mention the fact that cops are, you know, more apt to pick you off if you're by yourself as opposed to
in the rocking chair position. Right. The cops will be almost invisible to them.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yes. Thank you for correcting me.
Well, it's listeners who just want you to know, because I know you speak at a lot of schools.
I do speak at schools. I speak for a lot of schools of fish.
They want you to know the correct terminology.
Yes.
They're just helping.
I'm a better person for that now.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, if I were Steve Bertrand he is in the rocking horse because he's between you and Wendy and King John.
Oh, I see what you mean. Okay.
Right.
All right. Circle gets the square, Charlie Weaver. Congratulations.
Charlie Weaver.
You picked out a bunch of things that we were hoping to get to today. You know, our time is short, of course, 2 hours on the regular show and then the bonus hour. Mm-hmm. But there's a couple that I find fascinating. And one of them is the idea of what people should do when they meet their partner's parents for the first time. Why did you choose this here? I'm curious.
I chose this because I think it's something that everybody can relate to.
Yes.
And because I had a very interesting thing happen to me that I made a mistake.
This is when you met your wife's
Wendy's parents. By the way, I could not have gotten any luckier with my in-laws.
Good people.
Gail and John, they're great people.
Great people.
They're awesome. They're spectacular. And... I just love them so much, and
have you ever rocking chaired with them, where one of them drives in front, you drive in the middle, and
no,
the other drives
some,
in back?
No, but some mornings we will all spoon.
Oh, that's
just
strange.
Just close.
Yeah, all right.
But I made a mistake that kind of didn't have anything to do necessarily with how I met them.
Yeah.
But when we were out walking, her dad and I went for a walk. He wanted to show me. They lived in the
same. This was the first time you ever met them.
Yes.
And he said.
And they live in Kalamazoo.
Harry, let's you and I. Take a stroll. We'll just take a walk, you and
I. They live on a public golf course.
Oh, nice.
And
very nice.
And, you know, when they lived there, when they bought the house, it was like a gravel road.
Yeah.
You know, and the schoolhouse was like, you know, 7 miles away they'd walk. But, you know, now it's like this beautiful neighborhood, and it's on the golf course. And he goes, hey, let me show you around. So we went for a walk. We're talking. And I go, you know, one of the things I want to do this weekend is I want to ask for your daughter's hand in marriage.
Oh.
Because I thought that's what you do. You know, you're polite.
Right.
And you let them know, I will respect the hell out of you. No matter what I'm, you know, going on, no matter what's happening with your daughter.
Yes.
You know, I'm trying to get her to take her top off everywhere. But
I would have left that part out, but you're your own man.
So I said, you please do me a favor. Please don't say anything to Gail. But I'd like
his wife, your mother-in-law.
Right. And I said, and I will ask her, but I'm worried that she's going to talk. She's going to tell Wendy. So may I have, you know, I promise to, you know, to be respectful of her and to work as hard as possible. And what else did I lie about? he goes, sure, absolutely. And I go, but please don't say anything to your wife.
Yeah.
He goes, sure.
So but
I later.
Did that offend him at all? Because that's kind of a way of saying, your wife could blab it and then ruin the whole surprise.
Right. Well, which I later found out he blabbed it.
Oh, he did.
He told his wife immediately.
Oh.
Hey, guess what?
Yeah.
And then she told Wendy.
Oh.
So Wendy knew about it. So I planned like how I was going to propose, where I was going to propose, but
would you say in retrospect you probably shouldn't have told him then?
No, I think as a parent, you've got two daughters.
Yeah.
And who am I to impose gender roles? You know, if a girl wanted to marry Reggie, and asked me, or whatever,
right?
I think it's respectful just to ask the parents. It puts you off on the right foot.
But I have a feeling those days are fading away. That even though there was a time where that was commonplace to say,
you think the average people now that get together and get married, they don't ask?
I don't think they do. Well, I don't think they do. I'm sure there's a
texters,
percentage.
Texters, let us know, texters.
I'm positive that there's a percentage of people who do, but I bet that the number from what it was 15, 20, 25, 30 years ago is way, way, way down.
Okay, well, whatever you do, don't tell John Gisler, because he'll tell the world. So
right.
I found this story about what's the most helpful. These are the most helpful things you can know when you're meeting your partner's parents for the first time.
That's very helpful. Can we take a quick break then? I don't want to.
It's your show, Bill.
Is that
all
right?
Do anything. All
right.
Yeah, I'll do two more push-ups.
We will take a quick break. We will come back and find out the things you should and shouldn't do when asking for somebody's hand in marriage. Yep. There's the music. All right, it's Bill Leff. It's Harry Tynowitz. Harry has chosen, I think this counts as public service, because you're helping people is what you're doing.
Yes, and the textures are pouring in. The guy said his son asked for permission. I asked my father-in-law for his blessing from the 309.
Good.
Adam Moore.
Good.
So I it's good to know.
Don't you think though that the numbers from what they were a generation ago or so are probably way down, that most kids now, as they're deciding who they're going to marry, they just think, I don't want to chance it. I don't want to ask.
I think it's probably more likely that people are finding out after the fact, but I still think there's a great deal of people that will ask.
Yeah.
All these texters, here's Brad Weber saying, yeah, I'm a single male. I would ask her parents.
I was so afraid that Terry's father would say no that it didn't even occur to me to ask. I was positive.
And do you think that affected your relationship?
With him?
Yes.
No. It was the same before, during, and after.
Mm-hmm.
But I just thought, if he does say no, I have painted myself into the ultimate corner.
Because
I'm going to get married to her. We're going to get married, but...
Well, you and I used to hang out a lot at college, and I remember when Terry came over and asked me for permission to propose to you.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
I thought it was very respectful.
That's straight. It was respectful, but strange.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So what are more of these tips, Harry, people can use?
Well, the first one is turn off your phone, or at least put it away. I get offended when sometimes we're at dinner and friends have their phones out.
Sure.
But during
a key moment like this, there's no room for a phone going off.
If you're a parent and you've got a sitter with your kid, I understand why your phone is out.
Yeah.
If your job is like, I need the news.
Yeah.
If you've got a large bet on a team playing, I understand why your phone is
okay.
Out.
What if you use it as an augmented dining experience and you look up answers to questions that come up?
That's a great question.
I just recently went out to dinner with a couple and I noticed I did have my phone on the table, but I was looking up actors' names.
See, I would rather, Steve, wouldn't you rather think of those on your own?
Yeah, right up until the mid-aughts, and then I gave up on that.
Then you're done with that?
No, I use a computer.
Bill, if you're trying to think, like if I say, what was the name of that show?
Google it. I always come up with it on my own.
That's because you don't. But Bill, first of all, doesn't need to Google, and second, he wouldn't be sure how to do it.
Okay. To be fair, that's true.
So turn off your phone, or at least put it away.
Wouldn't that be the ultimate sign of disrespect? Let's say a guy is asking his future wife's father, and the phone just keeps going off, and he keeps taking those calls. That would be a red flag that this guy is too preoccupied with other things.
Right, okay.
Right?
The second piece of advice, this is Dr. Gary Brown, a prominent dating therapist. And
we know who Dr. Gary Brown is.
Okay, there you
have it. Everyone knows.
Be the best you can be.
Nah.
I believe there's a branch in the military that uses this.
Why start out with a lie?
So in other words, shave, shower. This applies to women, too.
Yeah.
Shave, shower, and, be on your bed. Don't stay up till 4 in the morning.
Right.
Be authentic. Be tactful, he says. If you have hang-ups such as resentment towards authority figures or mm-hmm. difficulty handling the pressure of meeting your parents' partners, check your baggage at the door.
That seems like solid advice, doesn't it?
Be the best you can be.
Yeah.
Who'd be the worst?
Yeah. Yeah. I always envisioned if I was going to have this conversation uh-huh. with my soon-to-be father-in-law, that I would guarantee him that if I were in his shoes, I would want nothing but the best for my daughter, and I will do everything I can to provide that.
That's right? beautiful, right?
Don't you That's think all, you'd want yes, to say that?
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Be aware of family traditions.
Hmm, that's interesting. Like what?
Well, like anything their family has, customs or expectations. For example,
yeah.
if your partner's parents feel pleased or disrespected if you were to call them by their first name, oh. don't.
Oh.
Or if you're at their home and they offer food in a culture that you're not familiar with, put some on your plate.
Right.
Don't say no. Put some on your plate.
And you pretend you're eating it. Just like do that.
Like cauliflower.
More tzatziki, please.
Right. Yeah, you know, it's, but tzatziki's good.
I didn't say it wasn't good.
But, you know, you can always say, you can always, you know, just pass on it or just take a little.
Right.
But you can't eat the whole thing.
Right.
When my dad's parents came over from Lithuania.
Yes.
Like in Fiddler on the Roof.
Yes.
And my dad's mom barely spoke English. And the first time my mom went to her house for a luncheon, she threw a luncheon for her.
Yeah.
On Lakeshore Drive. And mom was seated and the soup was, you know, she knew she was making soup. She saw the ladles, she saw the bowls in the kitchen.
Yes.
And the first bowl of soup got put down like right near my mom. So she thought, okay, this must be my soup. And it was like brown. And mom loves soup. Mom yeah. thinks soup is one of the five food groups.
Right.
And she saw it was like a brown brothy soup and it was really thick and it didn't look good. But because it was her future mother-in-law, she ate the soup.
She pretended it was delicious.
Yes, and my grandma Olga came out, Grandma Chuchu came out.
Grandma Chuchu.
Yeah, she came out with the next couple bowls of soup for the other guests, and she looks at my mom's bowl, and she goes, oh my God, she ate the gravy.
That Grandma Chuchu, mm-hmm. she knew how to play the cards.
Right. How about this? After be aware of family traditions,
mm-hmm.
how about this? Ask and pretend to like their toy collection.
I think you made that one up. Pretty sure you made that one up.
What do you mean made that one up?
So what we've learned from this
yes.
is you definitely want the approval of whoever you're asking, but what if it doesn't come? What if that person says, you know, I gotta be honest with you. I don't think this is going to play. So no thanks, but no thanks. What do you do with that?
I think you go to plan B.
Which is?
Which is you you say, well, I'm ordering a pizza.
Yeah.
You know, we've got plans.
Yeah.
We'll see you guys later. We're getting a hotel room. you know, I think you go to plan B. But see, if it didn't work out for me, I would feel bad that I listened to all this advice. I would say I should have just been myself.
Right.
I shouldn't have worried about all this.
Right, 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 right.
Right. That's what I should have done.
Lynn, it's Bill and Harry. What happened to you?
My boyfriend and I were on vacation in Nairobi, Kenya, when he called my father in Pittsburgh to ask for my hand in marriage.
That's beautiful.
30 years ago.
That's so beautiful. He did it over the phone. Was that okay with your parents? They didn't mind, right? All he did was ask. Why not?
The Kenya thing, yeah, yeah.
Did he call collect from... That would be bad.
Lynn, I don't think so.
Thank you very much. And you guys are still together, I'm hoping?
Oh, yeah.
Excellent. That's good news.
Her and her parents? Or
no,
her and her husband.
Her and her husband. Thank you, Lynn. Have a great weekend.
Thank you very much.
Take care. Bye. I like it. I hope it's a tradition that goes on forever. I'm looking forward to that moment when one of the guys that either of my daughters is going to marry talks to me about it. We'll see what happens. It'll be fun.
Yes. So here's a 24-year-old. I won't say his name.
Mm-hmm.
From the 815. I'm 24 years old. I asked my girlfriend's father on Sunday. I'm going for the yes tonight.
Oh.
So 815, she knows.
You think she knows?
Yeah. The father-in-law, your future father-in-law, told your future mother-in-law.
You know that for a fact.
Yes.
It's a definite.
It's definite.
Yeah.
They, it's true. I mean,
it's a secret that's impossible to keep.
Because
right?
you're so excited.
Yeah.
Right. You know, it's not like, you know, please don't tell her that I have a third, you know, third nipple or, you know, please don't tell her that I'm afraid of cats. You know, it's just, That's what they say.
It's too big a secret to keep.
Right. Now, here's one from the other side, Bill. This one went...
The other side meaning heaven?
No.
You're getting texts from heaven?
This is someone who did not ask.
Oh.
From the 630, spur-of-the-moment proposal, didn't ask permission.
Yeah.
Father-in-law was mad until the day he passed.
Oh, that's ugly. There's no way around that.
I mean, really, I mean, I can understand why you'd be ticked off at the moment. But,
right,
I mean,
you gotta let that go.
Right, they're married, they got a kid, you know,
yep.
Love them, welcome them.
So true, so true. All right, we will take a break. We'll get you some news in just a little bit.
Which one of your kids you think will get asked first?
And then...
Bill has, Bill, I assume everybody knows, but you have twin daughters.
I don't know. I've thought about that, but I don't know the answer. Sometimes I think it's one, sometimes I think it's
Because Kevin Powell told me that he wanted to see you after the show and ask you a question.
We got to go. All right, we'll take a break. We'll get you some news, and then there's a lot more show ahead. It's Bill and Harry in for Wendy on WGN. Steve, thanks so much. It's Bill F. It's Harry Tynowitz. Harry is sitting in for Wendy Snyder. Wendy will return on Monday. Every Friday, Alex Zelbin joins us from Decider.com. It's a fantastic website if you like TV news, entertainment news. You want to try Decider.com. Hello, Alexander. How are things?
They're good. I'm doing pretty well. How about you guys?
Excellent.
Everything is beautiful. My TV went out last night. I was very frustrated, but after about an hour, it came back.
Oh,
that's
all
not
right.
On you,
hopefully
Alex.
Not
you
doing understand? Anything good.
Harry's not blaming you for that. He's just saying.
I did go over to his house and unplug his TV
did?
Very briefly.
All right, good.
I couldn't reach it. Alexander was able to take care of that for me.
Big Disney news. What's going on in the world of Disney, Alexander?
Ooh, so much. So Disney had a big call for investors yesterday, which normally would be a lot of dry stock stuff.
Yeah.
But as it was very exciting for consumers because it was the official announce of their Disney Plus streaming service. There's been a lot of questions about it, not a lot of information out there, but they dropped a ridiculous amount of information yesterday. And the top line stuff you probably want to know, it debuts on November 12th in the United States. It will slowly roll out all over the world over the next couple of months or so. It's going to cost $6.99 a month, which is cheaper than Netflix, cheaper than Hulu, cheaper than everything else, or $69.99 a year. And they're going to have basically everything you want to watch. They have all of the Marvel movies, all of the Star Wars movies. They have hundreds and thousands of hours of Disney shows, Disney Channel original movies. Plus, they're going to be creating a lot of original content. There's going to be the first live-action original Star Wars show is going to be on there. They have a live-action Lady and the Tramp movie starring Justin Theroux and Tessa Thompson. Plus, since they've absorbed Fox, they have all of Fox's family movies as well as National Geographic content. So if you're into nonfiction stuff and nature stuff like that, you got all of that. And the big thing that they save for the end, again, because of the Fox deal, they're going to have all 30 seasons of The Simpsons streaming on Disney Plus as of launch.
That's impressive. That's very impressive. Yeah. Does this mean that all the things you just mentioned, like just say your average Disney movies, Mary Poppins, mm-hmm. Peter Pan, you name it, will we not be able to see those on other platforms exclusively on Disney? Is that it? Or how does that work out?
This is a little bit of a question going forward. There are some things that are going to be moving exclusively to Disney Plus. For example, they have the 13 animated movies in the Disney Signature Collection. Those are the things we've traditionally known have been in the vault every now and again, like Snow White, Cinderella, etc. Those are going to be permanently on there. In addition, they're going to have a bunch more movies. They haven't sent out a full list yet, but the assumption is that they're going to kind of rotate in and out depending on broadcast deals and other things. So it won't be the only place you will ever see Disney stuff from now on, but it's certainly going to be a home for a huge chunk of it.
Alexander, if you're a fan of Bear Grylls, if you're a fan of Man vs. Wild, there's something new at hand, isn't there?
There is. This is a new series that's streaming on Netflix. It debuted, I want to say Wednesday, called You vs. Wild. And using the technology that they developed for the Black Mirror Bandersnatch episode, which was very dark, this is not quite as dark as that, you essentially do a choose-your-own-adventure interactive with Bear Grylls. And so he'll turn to the camera at certain points and say, hey, should I grab a pickaxe and climb up this cliff, or should I swing off this tree? Or things like, should I eat this grub, or should I eat this pile of termites. And it is family friendly. One of our reporters, Kayla Cobb, sifted through the whole thing to try to find out if you could, in fact, kill Bear Grylls at any point. Sad to say, you cannot. He's impervious.
Oh, man.
You could hurt him a little bit, but that's pretty much it. But it is family friendly. It's fun. It's funny. It's cheeky about the whole conceit. So it's a fun time to check out.
Bill, didn't you get excited when Alexander first said you versus Wild that it was somehow Cubs pitcher Yu Darvish?
Yeah, for a little bit it was. Yeah, I'll be honest with you. when and where is that? Is You versus Wild? That's immediately on Netflix?
That's on Netflix. Yeah, it's on Netflix right now. There are 8 episodes, and they're shorter episodes, so you should be able to bang through them with the family on a weekend if you want.
All right, since we discussed Disney and their big news, it's kind of tied in since they now own the Star Wars franchise. Here in Chicago right now, they're having the Star Wars celebration, and the plan was to announce the title of the 9th film today. Has that happened yet, Alex?
That is happening as we speak. Oh. The big panel with J.J. Abrams and Kathleen Kennedy is happening over in your guys' neck of the woods. The presumption is at some point in this hour, nobody leave the radio, I guess, for the next 15 minutes, so at the very least, but they're going to be announcing potentially the title of the movie as well as showing off the first trailer of the movie. The panel is happening right now. Stephen Colbert is surprise hosting it, and if you do want to check it out, it's streaming live on YouTube on Star Wars' page, so you can watch it right now, or rather, at least in 15 minutes.
I'm trying to think, is there a connection with Stephen Colbert and Star Wars? I know he's connected to Lord of the Rings.
Right,
he was in Lord of the Rings.
He's mm-hmm. Big geek.
The joke that he made at the beginning of the panel is that he is J.J. Abrams, who's directing the film, his SoulCycle buddy. So that's how he ended up there. But I think he's just a big nerd, and he likes talking about this stuff. So that's they were able to grab him.
Alexander's got like the joke he let off with already.
Yeah.
And the title's, Jasmine, get the breaking news sounder ready.
Has there been any?
I got it open, just in case. Just in case they break the title while we're on the air, I will let you guys know.
Usually, Alexander, there are leaks of some sort with something this big. Have they even leaked an idea of what this title could be, or does nobody have any idea?
There's a lot of guesses out there, but one thing that J.J. Abrams has done amazingly with his career is he's built these things that he calls mystery boxes, and it essentially is everything is locked in that mystery box. And Star Wars, this being the 9th movie, they're saying it's the end of the Skywalker saga that technically began in the prequels but ran through the original 3 movies and now through these new movies with Rey and Finn and Poe and everybody else. This is the end of it. So they're locking it down as tight as they possibly can and making sure no leaks get out whatsoever.
Uh-oh. Guess what? It's now it's coming over, Alex. I'm getting it. It's called Gidget's Beach Party. That can't be right, can it?
Huh. That's pretty surprising.
I didn't think that was going to be their title.
It's the overall plot of the franchise. Yeah. So it makes a lot of sense.
Crazy.
That's crazy. Curious George kills an Ewok.
They wouldn't call it that. There's no way.
So Mark Hamill said this week, he was on an episode of Hollywood Reporter's podcast, and he said that the Star Wars fans are getting fatigued by the franchise.
Mm-hmm. Too many Star Wars products. Right?
This is something that they actually talked about a little bit at the Disney Plus announcement last night. Bob Iger, the head of Disney, discussed this, and they felt like they hit it a little too quickly and a little too hard with coming out with new movies every single year. So they're going to have Star Wars Episode 9 this year, and then at least theatrically it's going to take a little break. But if you're a Star Wars fan, don't worry. The first live-action Star Wars series called The Mandalorian, it's a character who looks like Boba Fett but isn't Boba Fett, is going to stream at launch on Disney+. It has 10 episodes. It's created by Jon Favreau, and the director list and the cast list is kind of amazing. Plus, there's going to be further Star Wars things down the road. So even if it's going out of theaters for at least a year or two, you'll have plenty of Star Wars to keep you busy.
That's good news. All right, we will take a quick break. We'll come back, and then more talk with Alexander Zalbin from The Decider. Alexander Zalbin is our guest. He joins us every Friday as we talk about television and entertainment. He's with The Decider. Decider.com is the website to visit. Harry, you had a question you wanted to ask.
Yeah, there's this show Sunday night. It's pretty popular. I want to know, according to the Vegas betting line, who should I bet? Who's going to end up at the end of the season on the all-important, most important of all thrones. Alexander? He's dead.
No, he's not dead.
Now you just talk about Game of Thrones and somebody dies.
Hold on. We're going to Mission Control. Jazz, do we still have Alexander on the line? Yeah? Alexander, can
Hello?
You hear us? There you
hear
are.
Me?
There you are. Hi, Harry had a question about...
I didn't want to drop any Game of Thrones spoilers, so I guess I headed it off for a little bit.
So who ends up on the Iron Throne? You could bet this in Vegas. Who do you know?
Yes. Everybody is going crazy with bets and ideas and everything. I would say, here's my thought, and this has been my thought about this since the past season, since they surpassed the books, basically, that without, you know, slagging off the show or anything, it's headed into much more of a conventional narrative than it had for the first four or five seasons or so. And I think we're definitely going to see some deaths. We're going to see some fan-favorite characters biting it by the end of the day. But ultimately, I think in some configuration, we're going to see Jon Snow and Daenerys Targaryen at the head, leading everything. It'll probably be a little different. They'll probably end up melting the Iron Throne. You won't have a big sword throne anymore. So it'll be a new day for Westeros. But that's my guess in terms of who ends it all.
And just to be clear, this is the end of the line for Game of Thrones. There will be prequels and sequels, but for the show known as Game of Thrones, this season is it, right?
That's correct. The premiere is Sunday night at 9 p.m. on HBO. There are six episodes that are going to roll out the next five Sundays after that. Some of them are super long episodes. There's the longest episodes in the history of the show, stretching almost to an hour and a half. But regardless, you got six more weeks of the show. There is a prequel that they're working on that they're heavily into shooting and developing at this point. There are, I believe, four other prequel scripts that are in various stages of development. But yeah, Game of Thrones, Jon Snow is done. Daenerys Targaryen is done. That's it by mid-May.
My favorite Sunday night show is Billions. It gets better every week. The acting is spectacular. And John Malkovich, Illinois' own John Malkovich, has been doing a guest spot as a Russian mafioso. He is spectacular. Do you love where Billions is headed?
Well, Billions is one of the shows that I don't necessarily get to watch because I am so heavily into Game of Thrones, but we have a bunch of people on staff who do love it, and it's one of those shows that I think has just picked up tremendously in the past season or two. It was kind of bubbling under the surface for a while, and I feel like as of last season, it really hit its stride, as far as my writers have told me, and they've really been killing it for the past two seasons at least.
There's this thing called a DVR.
No. You live in the future. Is Game of Thrones the biggest, most important show that HBO has ever had?
Yeah.
I think
unequivocally. You know,
more than Sopranos?
In terms of the cultural landscape, there's so many different things on HBO that you can argue for. Sex and the City or Tales from the Dark Side, maybe. You could throw out a ton of shows like that.
Ballers.
But Game of Thrones, they expect a billion people to be watching.
A billion people will be watching. Do you think Shelley Long left the show too early?
Honestly, I think Kirstie Alley is going to end up on the Iron Throne.
I hope so.
You need reinforce the throne.
Yep. What do you think of this show, The Perfect Date? This is a Netflix movie, right? It's not a show. It's more a movie, or what is it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's one of the recent spate of teen rom-coms that Netflix has been putting out. It debuted on the service today. It stars Noah Centineo, who is the new hot heartthrob. You might know him from To All the Boys I Loved Before. He was also on Sierra Burgess is a Loser on Netflix. So this is kind of the final one in the trilogy of Noah Centineo movies. Our reviewer, Anna Menta, watched it and said, it's really cute. It's fun. It's about a kid who, in a totally non-sexual way, starts selling his services as a date to take out girls, and he is the perfect date. So if you're looking for a cute rom-com to watch tonight, you can check
that
out
movie,
on Netflix.
The Perfect Date
right now.
Now, also, yesterday, I don't know if it's been showing on Netflix, but they showed a preview. You know when you go to that home screen and they're showing you whatever their newest, biggest movie is? All right, so there's a film called The Silence that Stanley Tucci's in. Have you seen this yet, Alex?
I haven't. Again, Anna meant to watch it. It is kind of very similar to A Quiet Place in the same vein as Bird Box, where there's these monsters and you have to be quiet to keep them away. I will say it has a great cast, but she thought it was bad. Not even watchably bad, but just not a good movie, which is unfortunate, given everybody involved.
Alexander, that is such a ripoff of Bird Box. What's the next movie someone's going to come out with? You have to put a clothespin on your nose, because if you smell the monsters, they come to life.
I want to have one where you can't taste them. You can't lick the monsters anywhere.
It looks to me, you mentioned Quiet Place. Now, this is interesting because Stanley Tucci is married to Emily Blunt's sister, and she was in Quiet Place. So I wonder what they talk about when they're sitting down to a family meal. They stole the idea.
Well, I will say, in their defense, the book that it's based on came out 3 years before A Quiet Place and Bird Box. So it does pre-exist that, but at the same time, it seems like this idea, these sort of ideas, were bumping around for a while. Bird Box, the books, was also around for a while. So I think they just all kind of came out at the same time. And the silence is bad, but even if it was good, it would be compared to these previous movies because of the way that they were released.
Bill, you're brilliant, and you don't even know it. I think we need to talk about, if you could sit down and have dinner with any family that had two celebrities in it,
right?
Who would it be?
Right. That's a good question.
How do you not say Connie Chung and Maury Povich?
That would be right. That's the obvious answer. There's no question about it. A surprise movie from Donald Glover and Rihanna, and that's called Guava Island.
Yeah, we kind of knew they were working on something, but we didn't know what it is. This biggest surprise is it's going to drop at 12:01 a.m. Pacific tonight on Prime Video. It's going to be streaming for free, regardless of whether you have a Prime Video subscription or not, until 6 p.m., at which point it'll be for subscribers only. But it stars Donald Glover, Rihanna, Letitia Wright. It's him working with his Atlanta director, Hiro Murai, who he also did This Is America, the video that caused a huge reaction with. But this is a thriller set in Cuba and filmed in Cuba. That's all we know about it at this point. But Donald Glover has been on a roll with amazing, weird, creative things. So it's definitely going to be one to check out.
So talented. Immensely talented, Donald Glover. I also have to give you big credit. I talked about this the other day, and you weren't here for it, but I want to do it with you here. I've been watching the show. I watched the whole run of the show, Afterlife, as did Steve Bertrand, our news guy. It's only 6 episodes. I can't think of a TV show or a movie that blends really, really funny with really, really sad and poignant the way that Afterlife does. You talked it up to us, and I was going to watch an episode and see what I thought, but went through all 6 episodes very quickly. Wow, what a great show.
I'm glad you liked it. And the good news for fans of the show is Netflix actually renewed it for a second season. We don't know when it's going to premiere, but they're definitely working on it right now.
And thank you for turning me on to Facts of Life.
Yeah. Also a great show. Harry was resistant. He said, let's see what happens.
Yeah.
But you watched it, and what'd you think? You enjoyed it very,
very
much.
Very good.
You take the good, you take the bad. Alexander, thank you so much for being here. Greatly appreciated. We'll talk to you. Do we have word yet on the new Star Wars title, or is that not broken since we've been speaking?
That is not broken, but it should be sometime in the next half an hour, so right. Stay tuned. Right.
Very soon.
If any texters know it, please text us. Star Wars title.
Thank you, Alexander. We appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
All right. Bye-bye.
Alex Zalbin from Decider.com. We'll take a break. We'll get you some... Oh, no break, just the news. Thank you, Ryan. It's Bill Leff, and it's Harry Tynowitz. Harry is filling in for Wendy, who will return on Monday. This was a scheduled day off, and we said, who could possibly come in and do even half the job she does? And then we said, Harry could do half the job she does.
So I'm doing about a third of the job she does. And best of luck to Wendy this weekend. She's performing at Coachella.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
That's a good time
for
everybody.
That'd be great. Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Snyder.
That's what they're calling.
Mm-hmm.
The last time you were here, Harry, you told us a situation that you were in by which you, normally not a pet owner.
Oh, different story.
No, it's a totally different story. Normally not a pet owner, but you were cat sitting. You and your wife were cat sitting for a friend. But now this story has taken a strange, unexpected turn.
And I preface this with, I'm a dog lover.
Yeah.
I don't dislike cats.
You grew up with dogs.
I grew up
only.
With dogs. I love dogs. Dogs are part of the family. Cats.
Man's best friend is what I'm hearing.
Yes, that's true. And they're so happy to see you. Cats, people that own cats, you don't even know if the cat's in the house or not. Where's the cat?
Right.
Somewhere.
They're mysterious. Cats are mysterious.
So Wendy's friend asked if we could cat sit for them for 4 days. And so
they were going out of town.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So you know, maybe they weren't.
They just wanted to get rid of the cat for four days.
So like you're cat sitting. What are the questions you asked? Right. First question is, you know, I'm told it's an 8-month-old cat. First question that you would ask is,
What does your cat eat?
I asked potty trained.
Oh, that's a good, even better question.
Right? Right. Is the cat 8 months?
Yeah.
You know, is the cat potty trained?
Yeah.
Yes, I'm told.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you say potty trained or do you say litter boxed? What do you say? What is the correct terminology?
I say, is it trained?
Trained.
Yeah.
They know what you mean.
Yeah,
okay.
Right.
So that's a great first question. And the answer was?
And the answer was that, yeah, the cat's trained.
Okay.
And it's a really good cat.
That's
it's
good.
8 months old. And I said, what's the cat's name? I should have asked a better question, like, what does the cat eat? But
no,
Wendy
the
said,
cat's name is a good question.
Wendy's, yeah, because I won't know, like, to come.
Right.
So Wendy said, it's a really cute name for her. It's a perfect, you know, my friend said it's a perfect name for her. It's Mitzi.
Oh.
So all I know about this cat is it's 8 months old, little girl kitty named Mitzi.
Were those your only questions? Because there's other questions. Is your cat allergic to walnuts, I would say?
I asked,
isn't that a good question?
Yeah, does the cat look more like Julie Newmar or Eartha Kitt?
That's a great question.
Right.
Yeah.
So the cat comes over, and I see it for like half an hour, and then I have to go out.
Yeah.
And so I call in, because my kids, the main reason I wanted the pet for four days.
For the kids.
For the kids.
Yep.
You know, it's not about me anymore.
Selfless. You're selfless, Harry.
Go on.
You are.
So I call in, I say, hey, Wendy, I said, Lucy, how do you like having a cat?
Yeah.
And she goes, it's great. It's, you know, he's so cool. I go, I think it's a girl, honey. She goes, no, Dad, I was going to tell you about that. It's a boy. I go, it's a boy? It's a girl cat. Her name is Mitzi. She goes, Dad, he's a boy. I go, how do you know? She goes, well, he's got two beans.
Maybe.
Okay.
All right.
So how does this woman have a
the
cat?
The owner didn't know
right.
what the sex
no
of the cat
how
was.
Does, how do you have a cat, Jasmine? How do you have a cat
for
8 months?
And not know.
And not know that it's a boy.
Interesting. All right.
Okay.
It's possible, though, right? It's entirely possible, you have to admit.
I was taking a picture of Lucy with the cat, you know, and the cat was kind of like moving around in her arms as I took the picture.
Yeah.
I looked at the picture. This is a boy cat.
Could you not show me that picture, please?
I will not show
Thank
it
you.
To you. Because once you see it, you can never
can't
unsee it.
Yep.
So 4 days go by, and I say to Wendy, my wife, I said, hey, I asked her, is the cat going back tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
She goes, well, that's a funny story.
I bet it isn't. I will bet you that it is not. I bet it's bad.
I said, Wendy, my question was a yes or no question.
Oh, no.
Not an it's a funny story question.
Oh,
she
no.
goes, well, my friend, and you notice I'm not saying the friend's name.
Yeah.
But she goes, my friend bought the wrong breed. I go, what do you mean? She
the
bought
the wrong sex and the wrong breed.
What do you mean she bought the wrong breed? Well, turns out her son is allergic to this cat.
Oh.
So now, worse than, how do you have a cat for 8 months? And not know it's a boy? How do you have a cat for 8 months when your kid is allergic
right.
to it, right?
She didn't think anything was up. The kid was sneezing and stuff. She didn't put anything together?
No. I guess she thought, you know, that my mom had made soup and brought it over, and that's what was affecting
her
months.
Son.
Right, for 8 months. So we have a cat. And the cat has been renamed Mr. Morton for the Schoolhouse Rock song about predicates.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Morton walked down the street. And Bill, I'm in love with the cat.
Okay, that's the part that surprises me. The rest kind of surprises me, but that's the part that surprises me.
He is just adorable.
He grew on you.
He grew on me. He's right here
like
on my shoulder.
Like a lesion.
Yes. He's a sweetheart. He's like a really
good cat. Who are you?
I don't know. I don't know anymore.
You know, twice while talking to you on the phone, mid-sentence, I don't know if you're even aware of this, you'll be talking about something, and you'll just say these words. You'll go, I have a cat. And then you'll continue. You've done that twice.
I'm sure I have.
It's very peculiar. It's not like you at all.
Well, it's the weirdest part about having a cat. So like, I really, my son, Reggie, who's great,
mm-hmm.
plays video games all day and all night.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, man, I want a dog. The kids will love a dog more than a cat.
Mm-hmm.
And my
based
wife,
on what? What do you base that on? Just your own experiences, right?
Being around dogs and cats.
Yeah, right. Okay.
And my wife grew up with a cat. She wants a cat. I want a dog because dogs are dogs and
yes.
cats are cats. And so I thought, well, you know, this will get Reggie, you know, out of the house. He's not going to play his video games, you know, 10 hours straight
right.
on the weekends.
You can take the dog for a walk right. a couple times a day.
So, I mean, cats, no matter how cold it is, the cat just goes in the litter box.
Yeah.
This cat's totally trained.
Yeah.
And the cat is very, you know, very, very sweet. But what the cat does that dogs don't do is jumps on tables. So I got home the other night late, and I made myself a chicken salad sandwich, and I poured a Snapple, and I go back to the kitchen to get a napkin for 1 second. I come back, and the cat has its head in the sandwich.
Oh, that wouldn't work.
Right. So the cat's not eating it. It's just checking it out, but now I got to throw out the sandwich, and I throw out the Snapple.
Yeah.
So the cat will jump up, which I'm not, but the cat is so cute.
Did you put a sign on the table saying no jumping on the table?
I think the cat only speaks Japanese.
Oh, I don't know. I can't translate
I can't translate either.
Oh, that's crazy.
But the cat is.
Then how do you handle that with the, like with a dog, you say no. Right? With a cat, do they understand? They don't care, do they?
No, they do. They do. No. And I bought a bag of toys for the cat.
Yeah.
I'm a dog person, and there's like 25 more toys for dogs than there are for cats.
I bet. I'm sure of it.
Right. So I found this like plastic bag, and I've got it in one of the break fronts in the family room, in the dysfunctional family room.
Yeah.
And the cat gets all excited when I go in, when I open the break front doors, because, you know, he knows there's something good in there. So, I mean, he's an appreciative cat. He's just happy to hang with us. He's great with the kids. He always wants to go outside. And where I live, it's like Pleasantville, except we get animals.
Mm-hmm.
One year we had two ducks living in our front yard, under the tree. I've seen possums come to our door, and they just sit there. They don't do anything. They just sit there.
Yeah.
And then I saw a fox one night. I saw skunks.
Uh-huh.
So that when the cat gets out,
I'm
thinking the worst, right?
Yeah, right.
So
yeah.
We got to get the cat to stop going out. But I mean, I find myself falling in love with this cat.
I did not see the story heading this way. I thought you were going to say we're doing everything in our power to get rid of this cat.
Who will take a cat? 312, right?
I'm shocked by this.
You
need Steve Dale on retainer to just live with your family for 6 months.
That would work. Let's call him.
He would solve all your problems. He would do it, too. I'm very surprised that it ended this way with you falling for the cat. I did not see that coming at all.
And cats live longer than dogs.
Oh, cats can live to be 150.
150?
Yeah. There's still cats that
Dogs are 7 years for a year. What are cats?
I don't know the exact conversion. And I don't buy into that 7 = 1
really?
Thing. Yeah. I know their life expectancy is shorter than humans, but it's not 7. It's not a 7 to 1.
We had a blind guy at, those meetings I go to now for the last 8 years.
Yes.
We had a blind guy come in, and he's a guide dog, and he was celebrating his sobriety date. He had 2 years.
Yes.
And I'm like, boy, if the dog had 2 years, he would have 14 years.
That's true.
Yeah.
At dog AA meetings, it's very hard giving out the chips for that reason. They got to have a converter on hand.
Uh-huh.
It's very strange.
Uh-huh. I bet Eddie from Frasier was going to those AA
meetings. I'm sure he was. I'm positive he was. So today, if given the choice, if someone was going to gift you a pet, it could be a dog or a cat, based on what just explained, you would still go with a dog.
Yeah, dogs are dogs.
But somehow this cat has found its way into your heart.
Yes, because I haven't had a dog for a long time.
Right.
And it's a very good cat.
Yeah.
It's a very good kitty.
You don't have to sell me.
But I mean, like, I can't leave the bathroom door open. I have to close the bathroom door. Because the cat will jump up on the toilet seat. The cat will jump into the sink. So I have to close the bathroom
door. Would that scare you to daylight? Would it scare the daylights out of you if you saw that?
It did. The kitchen. We've got two ways into our kitchen. We have like shoelaced together the two doors that open like the old West.
Yeah.
You know?
Because you live in a house pattern after Gunsmoke.
We do. And little Joe, he told the funniest story of the day.
He was on Bonanza, not Gunsmoke. Who are you fooling? Who are you trying to fool? You can do it.
Who was the woman that Kitty, Miss Kitty?
Amanda Blake.
Thank you, Miss Kitty. But we
Miss Kitty, get it? It all ties in.
Look what you did there.
Wait, hold that thought. We have to take a break. More of this sort of behavior next with Bill and Harry. Bill and Harry filling in for Wendy. Wendy will be back on Monday. Since we're talking about pets, Wendy disclosed something on the show yesterday that got a lot of people interested enough to text in and give their thoughts on this, but I would like to hear your thoughts on this. Wendy maintains, now she has a dog now, she had a dog for years and years.
Long time.
Long time Tiki, who is no longer with us, and now she has another dog with a different name. And she says that with the old dog and with the current dog, she cannot change her clothes in front of those dogs.
What?
It's too embarrassing for her. She says that pets are too judgmental.
What?
I maintain, What are they going to do with this information? Yes, they've seen you change. Are they going to tell other dogs? Are they going to just look at you every once in a while going, you know, I could do better, that sort of thing? I don't know what she's expecting.
I could do better.
I don't know what she's expecting.
I want to go be the pet for that neighbor lady right down the street.
She takes care of herself better than you. I know that pets can be judgmental to some extent, but not to that extent by which they would hold that against you if they see you changing clothes. Now, you have had dogs most of your life. Now you have a cat. Are you, Harry, able to change in front of those pets?
Yes. I change everything in right front of the pets.
Right.
I take a shower. I usually will call my pet, you know, in to do when I'm taking a shower so I know where the pet is.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, how do you even think of that?
I don't know.
That's insanity.
To her credit, not many texters, too, were on her side and said, no, I totally get it. I've had a dog my whole life. And, if I'm changing clothes, I have to close the door, lock the door. I don't know if locking the door is necessary. Most dogs can't.
My wife does that when I'm at home.
Does she?
It wasn't always that way.
And you had a text you wanted to read from a listener.
We've got this listener says, and this is crazy. I was talking about how this woman who gave us the cat to babysit for
friends of the
four
family
days, right? Thought it was a girl. Didn't know how could it have a cat for 8 months? Not know it's a boy,
right?
So this text comes in and says, "Hey, we had our cat Fred for 6 years before we figured out he was a she."
Wow.
Now that kind of makes more sense to me.
Yeah,
that you wouldn't know your male cat was a female cat, but like when you go to the vet
will use language that will steer you in one direction or another. The vet will say, hey, he needs this
right
sort of a shot, or she needs this taken care of.
Yeah,
so wouldn't you just based on the pronouns figure out,
yes,
male or female?
Right. If he said they, you know, that's a different story.
That's right. It's
right.
A new world.
All bets are off, right?
Yes.
But that's
so true.
That's insanity.
Yes.
So
yes.
We're going to go out of town this week, Bill. Would you house sit? Could we leave with you and Terry, Mr. Morgan, for 4 days?
This week is bad.
How about next week?
Worse. Yeah.
Sure.
I wish I could help you, but no. We have.
How much money would it take to get you to have a cat as a pet?
I don't think they make that much money. I don't think they've printed enough money for that to happen.
Somebody you like that has a cat, when you go over to their house, are you nice to it?
No.
You pet it?
Stay away. Stay as far away as I can.
Do you like any TV shows that have cats on them?
No. No.
What about a Jewish person whose last name is Katz? K-A-T-Z.
I might, if it's spelled differently, I might, yeah. Most of our close friends know that, I mean, believe me, if you're somebody who wants to have a pet, I'm all for go have a pet. But it's always weird when I go to somebody's house who has a pet and they won't. Pets seem to know, dogs and cats seem to know that you don't want to associate with them and they go right out of their way.
But like, it's better than a ferret. I mean, I know people
that
like
have. It's slightly better than a ferret. Not a whole lot better, but slightly better than a ferret.
Dogs and cats are pets.
Right.
Everything else is like
you
that.
You know, my brother had ferrets, right?
Wasn't it named Fawcett Majors?
Yes. Yes, it was.
Adam had ferrets.
Yeah.
Were they lead singers in his band?
No. He had ferrets, and they were. First of all, ferrets smell god awful.
Yeah.
They just do. They also eat almost anything they can. So every time we would visit, like whatever you'd look at, the bottom of the curtains, the bottom of the, it was all gnawed, you know? And he would say, he goes, it's the ferret. And I go, I figured that out on my own. I knew that you didn't have house guests over that were nibbling on the bottom of the curtains.
Adam's band, by the way, how many lead singers did they have in the history of his band?
11.
11 lead singers.
Yeah.
He was always auditioning singers.
Right. Right. Why do you bring that up?
Because you're talking about your brother. I always think about
that. Well, yeah. They went through. They were looking for the right one.
11.
They're still looking. They'll find it.
Number 12 could have been the one that put him over the top.
I know that. All right. We must take a break. We'll take a little break. Harry, would you join me, please, on the stream? Would you come and do the bonus hour with me, please?
I like streaming.
All right. Harry will be with me on the stream. You have that option, or you can keep it right here and listen to Steve and the Wintrust Business Lunch. We'll tell you more in just a little bit. First, coming up, the stories that matter with Ryan Burrow from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here on WGN Radio.